By downloading or listening to this podcast, you are agreeing to Moody's legal terms and conditions found at moodys.com/disclaimer, including that the information provided is not investment or financial advice, and that Moody's will not be liable for losses arising from your use of the information.
Rising interest rates and inflation are squeezing consumers around the globe. As the cost of borrowing, a night out, and really any major or minor purchase continues to rise, consumers' ability to make debt payments is waning. And one of the securitization sector's most vulnerable to deterioration in consumers' finances is auto ABS, non-prime deals in particular. Add the growing presence of electric vehicles into the mix, and you've got a sector in flux. I'm Aaron Johnson, and this is Moody's Talks Securitization Spotlight. In today's episode, in honor of the New York Auto Show, Moody's analysts Robin Liu in New York and Max Price in London will join me to discuss the impact of economic deterioration and electric vehicle proliferation on auto ABS cash flows. But before we get started, I'd like to encourage our listeners, if you have not already, to subscribe to Securitization Spotlight and to also check out some of the other monthly podcasts from Moody's, like Focus on Finance and Muniland, which are also tackling the auto sector right now. And with that, let's get started. Robin and Max, thanks for joining me this month.
Thanks, Aaron. Great to be here.
Thank you, Aaron.
Let's start in the U.S., where ABS performance has kind of been all over the map the last few years. First, losses plummeted during the pandemic on the back of government payment relief programs rolling out. And then they started growing in 2021 and are kind of spiking now. Robin, can you give a little bit of background on what's at play here?
Yes, Aaron, you're right. Consumer delinquency have increased during the past few quarters, mostly due to the high inflation and a declining savings for the consumers. So for all the public deals, the total 30-day delinquency has increased to over 6% for Q4 2022. That is about 1.5% increase from a quarter ago. And particularly, this is due to the higher delinquency level for the non-prime deals. So just give you a reference here for 30-day delinquency for non-prime deals. The Q4 2022 number is 15%. That is increased from 14% a quarter ago.
Now, Max, meanwhile, in Europe, we've kind of seen the opposite dynamic. Performance weakened during the pandemic as COVID kind of took hold. And it's been steadily improving in most markets across Europe since late 2020, early 2021.
Yes, that's correct, Aaron. What we're seeing in Europe now arrears have decreased to 0.16% as of September 2022, and that's down from 0.19% in the prior September in 21. Most markets now are at their historic lows or near their historic lows for delinquencies, and we're expecting that strong performance to continue, particularly in the larger markets, whereby we're looking at France and Germany, given that their loans are predominantly made fixed interest rates and don't expose borrowers to the increasing interest rate environment.
Now, in Europe, were there government aid programs, were they as prominent as they were in the US?
Yes, they were, Aaron. Yeah, we had them in all major economies across Europe, and that was obviously giving consumers a lot more spending power throughout the pandemic to get them through. And a lot of that money's been used to pay down debt, but also keep the arrears and delinquencies low during the pandemic and then going forward.
Okay, that's helpful. And to be clear, as we mentioned, the divergence in delinquency rates, they're significantly higher in the U.S. That is primarily as a result of the prominence of the U.S.'s non-prime sector within the ABS world and the absence of it largely in Europe. Right, Max, is that true?
Yeah, I would say it's largely true, particularly when you look at continental Europe, where we tend to have more captive automakers and they tend to lend to more prime borrowers. In the UK, there is a bit of a difference where we have more sort of specialist non-captive originators. But the thing with those are the origination volumes are generally lower than they would be when you're looking at captive originators. The other thing I would point out is that given the economic environment at the moment with rising interest rates, borrowers are tending to switch to less expensive cars, and that's both in the new and used car market. So loan amounts are actually smaller, which actually reduces the credit risk as well.
Now, Robin, I want to turn back to you real quick to talk about what you said regarding performance going forward. The major reason we expect performance to continue to weaken in the U.S., particularly among non-prime borrowers, are macro drivers like potentially rising unemployment, lower financial cushions, et cetera.
Yes. In addition to what you mentioned, inflation, one other big factor is the used car market. In this environment, we actually do see used car market has been improving, which is that is from the all-time peak high during the pandemic.
And when you say improve, you mean prices are starting to come down a little bit?
Yes, of course. Yes, price has coming down. So from the all-time high about, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. You know, as you know, certainly this is a great news for consumers who's looking for a new vehicles or used vehicle per se. However, this actually hurts for the loans for the deals that we rated, especially the deals that went out a couple years ago.
Got it. Can you quantify a little bit the extent to which used car prices have dropped in the US?
As we said, the price has reached to the peak during 2020 and 21 period. And price started to decline gradually over the last year, I would say 2022. Just give you a number here, the cumulative decline during last year is about 13%. And we would expect the price continue to fall, although at a much lower pace with a mid-single digit for the next 12 to 18 months.
And to our listeners, what this means for ABS is the rate at which net losses have increased in recent months will slow somewhat, all else equal anyway.
Absolutely. We probably want to look at in the bifurcated way. We're talking about consumer auto ABS, which include auto loans and auto leases. So for loans, we're talking about recovery rate. So with the default rate increasing, and then the used car price play a huge role in terms of recovery rate. So we see all things equal, a lower used car market will certainly derived a lower recovery rate, so hence we'll have a higher net loss for those loans. And for in terms of the auto lease market, it's a little slightly different. So actually, the bigger impact would be for those deals that went out, I would say, a couple years ago when the market was at all-time high. That's boiled down to what we call it residual value setting. So basically, at the deal initiation, we would expect a residual recovery for the time when the lease come to market. And then due to the market high, the setting in generally much higher. So when this deals would expect come to and the lease end in the next year or two, we probably going to see a price decrease as compared to what we were expecting at that point. So potentially that would lead to a lease potential loss, residual value loss at that point.
So a weakening economy, falling vehicle prices, risks of losses are growing among auto loans and leases. ABS have structural protections designed to protect bond holders from modest loan performance deterioration, but that's not necessarily a sure thing should performance weaken considerably, especially for junior bonds, non-prime junior bonds in particular.
You're right. The performance will continue to diverge, you know, among different issuers. That depends on their underwriting criteria and the loan quality, you know, the borrower they're going after. However, that being said, credit enhancement for senior notes will generally remain strong thanks to the sequential pay structure in among most of the auto loan and lease deals we are rating. However, the junior note protection will significantly weaken due to potentially the less of excess spread due to the higher loss. So I would say these sub bonds will, you know, face greater exposure for those deteriorating performance.
Got it. Thanks, Robin, for that. Now turning back to Max, as we noted, given the absence of a large non-prime market, auto ABS performance in Europe is pretty strong across the board, with 60 to 90 day delinquencies below 1% in every market, essentially.
Yeah, that's correct, Aaron. So what we're seeing here is obviously, as we've already mentioned, low levels of arrears and defaults across the board in the European markets. And we expect obviously performance to deteriorate, but underwriting to remain sound and strong below that, as lenders won't want to reach out to riskier borrowers given the current economic uncertainties, rising interest rates and increases in inflation. So with that in mind, we're expecting issuance volumes to remain flat.
Thanks, Max. With performance relatively stable across Europe, I'd like to kind of discuss one of the more interesting dynamics at play out there, which is the significantly higher adoption of electric vehicles in Europe relative to the US. And that's creating interesting pricing dynamics.
Yes, that's correct, Aaron. What we're seeing is an increase in electric vehicles in pools across Europe. And the interesting point there is that when you look at the auto trader in the UK, for example, what we're seeing is engine prices falling for petrol and diesel vehicles, but electric vehicles, they're still at their peak values. And what that's showing is the fact that there is this sort of fragmentation opening up in ABS pools, particularly both new and used pools. But also there is a difference between mass market electric vehicles and the premium electric vehicles. Mass market electric vehicles are still near their pricing peak, whereas we've seen a drop off in price in the premium electric vehicle market as per the petrol and diesel markets.
Now, can you talk a little bit about what this fragmentation of used car prices between electric vehicles and internal combustion engine vehicles means for ABS pools?
Yeah, so sure, Aaron. We're going through a sort of a unique transformation at the moment where we're seeing the market shift away from these internal combustion engines to electric vehicles. And what you're seeing there is it's putting sort of downward pressure on diesel prices because through regulation and other reasons, people aren't so keen to buy combustion engines which are polluting the environment. And what you're seeing is these fragmentations within the pool where you've got used prices for petrol and diesel vehicles falling at a faster rate, whereas with the electric vehicle market, they're much more stable in price generally, particularly on the mass market electric vehicles.
Interesting. So consumer preference is definitely driving a lot of this, but we've talked about government regulations also playing a big role in this shift, at least in the UK.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there's a significant movement across the UK in terms of regulation, an example of which is the fact that the UK now currently has six clean air zones across UK cities, with another two being under review currently. And that's in addition to the ultra-low emission zone, which is already set up in London. And that's going to be expanded to the perimeter of the M25, which is London's orbital motorway, at the end of August. And that will mean that cars that aren't compliant with the Euro 6 emission standards will have to pay an extra £12.50 a day to enter the zone.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think I've seen too much about clean air zones in the US in terms of cars. So with that, thanks, Max. And thanks for joining us this month, Robin, as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To our listeners, a reminder to subscribe and pass us along to your friends and coworkers. We look forward to having you back for next month's edition of Securitization Spotlight.
Thanks for listening to this Moody's Talks podcast. To find out more about the topics discussed, please follow the links in the show notes. You can check out other Moody's Talks podcasts by visiting moodys.com/podcasts.